Right now, as you watch this video, dozens of systems are tracking you. Your phone knows where you are. Your apps know what you're buying. Your smart devices are listening. And increasingly, your government wants access to all of it. This isn't just about surveillance. It's about building a digital control system, one that would make any authoritarian regime jealous. I'm Ray from BitChute, and this is the rise of the digital surveillance state.
On March 20th, President Trump signed an executive order that many people ignored. Eliminating information silos sounded boring, bureaucratic, just another government efficiency measure. But here's what that order actually does. It gives presidential designees access to information held by federal agencies, tax records, health data, education files. And now we know who's getting that access. The administration is partnering with Palantir Technologies to build a database of American citizens, tax records collected by the IRS, health data gathered by the HHS, education files from the Department of Education, all of it being combined for purposes it was never intended for. Decades of government data in a single centralized database. This isn't just another government database. This is the infrastructure for total information control. And it's being built right now. Here's what makes today's surveillance state fundamentally different from anything else in American history. It's not just that the technology exists, it's that the Trump administration has decided to hand over the keys to the kingdom.
For the first time in American history, private companies have been given direct access to citizens' most sensitive government records. Tax returns, financial transactions, banking information, data that used to require a warrant, is now being processed by corporate algorithms. Companies like Palantir Technologies have been granted unprecedented access to IRS databases. They're using their Foundry and Gotham platforms to analyze tax information alongside everything else they know about individuals. Income, deductions, investments, debts, all of it is now part of a comprehensive surveillance profile. But Palantir isn't unique. Sure, they have the technical capability, but so do dozens of other companies, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and smaller data analytics firms all have the same ability to process and analyze massive data sets. The real threat isn't any single company's technology. The threat is the government's decision to give these companies access to information that was supposed to be protected. Tax records used to be sacred. Now, they're just another data point in a corporate surveillance system. This isn't about fighting terrorism or preventing crime. This is about creating a level of government insight into private lives that would have been unthinkable even 5 years ago. When the government knows exactly how much money people make, where they spend it, and how they manage their finances, combined with location data, social media activity, and personal associations, they don't just have surveillance, they have control.
The government has the perfect legal backdoor to bypass your constitutional rights, the third party doctrine. This legal principle says that once you share information with a third party, your bank, your phone company, your email provider, you lose any reasonable expectation of privacy for that data. Under this doctrine, the government doesn't need a warrant to access your bank records, phone logs, location data, or emails. They just need to ask the companies nicely or use administrative subpoenas that require no judicial oversight. This doctrine was established in 1976, when sharing information required a deliberate action. In 1976, if you wanted to share your personal information with a company, you had to actively choose to do it. You would walk physically into a bank, fill out the paperwork by hand, and deliberately give them your financial details. Or you would consciously dial a telephone number, knowing the phone company would have a record of that specific call you chose to make. Today, simply existing in modern society means constantly sharing data with third parties. Your phone automatically shares your location with cell towers every few seconds just by being turned on. Your smart TV sends viewing data to manufacturers. Your car's GPS logs every route you drive. Once data touches a third party, constitutional protections evaporate. It's the perfect partnership. Tech companies collect everything, and surveillance firms help the government access it, all without warrants. This isn't an accident or oversight. It's a deliberate erosion of privacy rights disguised as a legal precedent. The third-party doctrine has become the government's favorite tool for mass surveillance, and companies like Palantir profit from making the surveillance more efficient.
It seems very clear to me that a number of people deeply involved in artificial intelligence see it as a kind of mechanism for transhumanism, for transcendence of our mortal flesh, and either some kind of creation of a successor species or some kind of merger of mind and machine. And do you think that's just all kind of irrelevant fantasy? Or do you think it's just hype? Do you think people are trying to raise money by pretending that we're going to build a machine god, right? Is it hype? Is it delusion? Is it something you worry about? You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would
This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit in this.
Should the human race survive?
Palantir Technologies is one of the most powerful surveillance companies working with the US government. Since 2003, their software has been deployed by intelligence agencies, law enforcement, and the military to analyze massive data sets in everything from counterterrorism to immigration enforcement. The company's CEO, Alex Karp, has made public statements that reveal troubling perspectives. When pro-Palestine protests erupted at universities, he called them unforgivable and suggested protesters should be shipped off to North Korea. He has advocated for military drafts and predicted America will fight simultaneous wars against Russia, China, and Iran. In a 2020 interview, Karp admitted his business decisions are driven by paranoia. He described imagining who would be targeted first in a crisis, saying he believes he'd be at the top of the list. He openly acknowledged that this paranoid worldview shapes how he runs his surveillance company. This isn't just about one CEO or one company. The information government agencies hold on us requires strict constitutional oversight and limitations. And it's alarming that the Trump administration is expanding these surveillance partnerships without proper safeguards. But what makes it even worse is that they could have chosen to work with anyone, yet they selected companies whose leaders openly dismiss the constitutional rights they're supposed to protect. The surveillance industrial complex thrives on this disconnect. Companies profit from tools of control, while their leadership openly flaunts the rights that those tools should safeguard. But here's what makes government access to financial data so dangerous. It's not just about surveillance anymore, it's about control.
There was a preview of this during the Canadian trucker protests in 2022. The government didn't just arrest protesters. They froze bank accounts of people who donated to the convoy. They pressurized payments processors to shut down crowdfunding campaigns. They turned the financial system into a weapon against political dissent.
And it worked. When people realized that supporting the wrong cause could lose them access to their own money, support for the protests collapsed overnight.
Now imagine that same power in the hands of a government that has real-time access to every American's tax records, spending patterns, and financial relationships. They don't need to arrest people for their political beliefs. They can just make it impossible for them to function in the modern economy. Can't get a mortgage because social media activity flagged someone as a risk. Can't get a business loan because they attended the wrong rally. Can't get a payments platform because they donated to the wrong cause.
This isn't surveillance. This is economic warfare. And complete financial profiles, now in the hands of private companies working with the government, gives them everything they need to wage it. To understand what's happening now, it's necessary to go back to what happened before. In the 1960s and 70s, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover built an illegal surveillance network targeting American citizens. They spied on Martin Luther King Jr., infiltrated anti-war groups, and kept files on hundreds of thousands of Americans whose only crime was political dissent. When the Church Committee exposed these programs in 1975, the public was outraged. Congress passed new laws, oversight was created. The public was told it would never happen again. But here's what's different today. Hoover had to recruit human informants and plant physical bugs. Today's surveillance state doesn't need informants. It has smartphones. It doesn't need bugs. It has smart TVs, cars, fitness trackers. And most importantly, Hoover's surveillance was illegal. Today's surveillance state is perfectly legal because it's not the government collecting the data. It's private companies. And the government is just buying access to data that they've already collected. Now let's talk about how this unprecedented government access combines with an already massive corporate surveillance system. While the Trump administration is handing over tax and financial records to companies like Palantir, those same companies are also buying data from brokers most people have never heard of. LexisNexis, Axiom, and Epsilon collect information from thousands of sources, credit reports, insurance claims, magazine subscriptions, store loyalty cards, web browsing history, app usage, location data from phones. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement has spent over $200 million in the past 2 years buying location data from smartphone apps. The same data that tracks illegal immigrants also tracks every American who uses those apps. The Department of Homeland Security has been secretly purchasing passenger data from airlines, creating comprehensive profiles of travel patterns, business relationships, and personal habits without warrants or consent. Local police departments are purchasing access to Ring doorbell networks, creating a surveillance system that covers entire neighborhoods. The military is buying social media monitoring tools to track what soldiers post online. But here's what makes the IRS data so dangerous. It's the missing piece that makes everything more powerful. When tax records are combined with location data, social media activity, and purchasing patterns, the result isn't just surveillance. It's a complete financial and behavioral profile that can predict not just what someone might do, but what economic pressure points could be used to control them. The Fourth Amendment says government needs a warrant to search homes. But when they can access tax returns, buy location data, and analyze social media posts, they know more about private lives than any physical search could ever reveal. Here's why this surveillance system faces no real oversight. The people who are supposed to regulate it are the same people who profit from it. The revolving door between government and surveillance companies has created a system where regulatory capture isn't just likely, it's guaranteed. Former NSA director Keith Alexander joined Amazon's board after leaving government. Former CIA director John Brennan works as a consultant for big tech companies. Dozens of former FBI, NSA, and DHS officials now work for Palantir, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. These aren't just jobs. These are insurance policies. When people know that their future paycheck depends on the surveillance industry, they're not going to regulate it out of existence. Meanwhile, current government officials know that their next career move might be a lucrative position at one of these companies. Why would they bite the hand that might feed them tomorrow? This is how the military-industrial complex became the surveillance-industrial complex. The same pattern, the same conflicts of interest, the same revolving door that ensures the system only grows and never shrinks. Congress holds hearings where they pretend to grill tech executives, but those same executives are hiring former congressmen as lobbyists and former regulators as compliance officers. The fox isn't just guarding the henhouse, the fox is hiring the chickens. The consequences of this surveillance system aren't theoretical. They're happening to real people right now. FBI agents have visited Americans at their homes simply because they attended political rallies and were tracked through facial recognition. People have been questioned for using encrypted messaging apps or visiting websites that algorithms flagged as suspicious. Peaceful protesters have been identified through smartphone location data and added to government watch lists. Americans have been denied jobs, loans, and government benefits based on automated risk assessments they never knew existed. Internal documents have revealed that federal agencies are flagging terms like constitutional rights and civil liberties as potential indicators of domestic extremism. Historic American symbols like the Gadsden flag are being treated as warning signs. This isn't law enforcement investigating crimes. This is thought policing by algorithm. And unlike human officers, these systems never sleep, never take breaks, and never question their programming. But here's the most insidious part of this surveillance system. It changes behavior, even when people don't realize it. Studies show that when people know they're being watched, they self-censor, they avoid searching for certain topics, they think twice before posting their real opinions, they choose their words more carefully in private messages. This is called the chilling effect. And it's happening to millions of Americans right now. People might not even notice it, but they're already changing how they think, speak, and act. Because somewhere in the back of their mind, they know someone might be watching. Research from universities has found that after Edward Snowden's revelations about NSA surveillance, Google searches for privacy-sensitive terms dropped significantly. People stopped looking up information about mental health, sexuality, and political topics they were curious about. But it goes deeper than search behavior. People report being less willing to attend political rallies, sign petitions, or even discuss controversial topics with friends. The mere possibility of surveillance is making Americans less American. And here's what's particularly disturbing. The psychological submission happens gradually. People don't wake up one day and decide to stop exercising their rights. They just slowly, unconsciously, start avoiding anything that might get them noticed. The surveillance state doesn't need to arrest everyone. It just needs to make everyone afraid of being arrested. It doesn't need to silence every voice. He just needs to make people silence themselves. To see where America's digital surveillance state is headed, it's necessary to look at how similar systems are being used for political control around the world.
In China, over 23 million citizens were banned from buying plane tickets because of their social credit scores. Li He, a journalist who criticized government officials, couldn't get loans or even buy high-speed train tickets. But it's not just in China. In India, the government has used facial recognition to track protesters and identify political dissidents. In Myanmar, surveillance technology has helped the government identify and arrest democracy activists. Even in France and the UK, authorities have used digital tracking to monitor political demonstrations. The pattern is always the same. First, the technology is sold to the public as a way to fight terrorism. Then it expands to monitor political dissent, journalism, and civil rights activism. The infrastructure doesn't care about legal rights. Once it exists, it can be used by anyone in power against anyone they consider a threat. Here's what should terrify every American. If the government in the 1960s had today's surveillance capabilities, the civil rights movement might never have succeeded. Every organizer could have been identified, tracked, and neutralized before they ever held a single march. Now imagine what happens when a future administration decides that gun rights advocates are dangerous extremists, or that climate activists are domestic terrorists, or that journalists asking uncomfortable questions are threats to national security.
They don't need to build a surveillance system. It's being built for them right now. Let's talk about the technical infrastructure that makes this level of surveillance possible, because understanding the machinery helps you understand the threat.
Fusion centers are the nervous system of America's surveillance state. Originally created after 9/11 to fight terrorism, there are now over 80 of these facilities across the country. But they're not only for fighting terrorism anymore. They're monitoring domestic political activity, tracking social media posts, and building profiles on American citizens. These centers take data from federal agencies, local police, private companies, and social media platforms, then use artificial intelligence to find patterns and assign threat scores. They're the place where tax records, location data, and social media activity and purchasing habits all get combined into single profiles. Then there's the 5G network rollout. Everyone talks about faster internet speeds, but 5G enables something much more sinister: real-time tracking of every connected device with unprecedented precision. Phones, cars, smart devices, even clothing if it has sensors. All of it can be tracked and monitored in real time. Cloud computing has made mass surveillance affordable. Instead of needing massive government data centers, agencies can now rent processing power from Amazon, Google, and Microsoft. The same companies that are tracking people for profit are now helping the government track them for control.
And artificial intelligence is what makes sense of it all. Millions of data points that would have been meaningless to human analysts can now be processed instantly by algorithms that never sleep, never take breaks, and never question their programming. But America's surveillance state doesn't end at its borders. It's part of a global network that makes escape nearly impossible.
The Five Eyes Alliance between the US, UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand creates a surveillance system where data gets shared across multiple governments. If one country's laws prevent them from spying on someone directly, they can just ask an ally to do it for them. American surveillance data routinely gets shared with foreign governments, and foreign surveillance data gets shared with American agencies. Tax records that Palantir is processing could end up in the hands of intelligence
intelligence agencies in London, Canberra, or Ottawa. International corporations make this global surveillance seamless. Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Microsoft operate in dozens of countries, collecting data everywhere and sharing it with governments everywhere. Information doesn't stay in one place. It flows across borders instantly. Even if someone tried to escape the American surveillance by moving to another country, their digital footprint follows them. The same companies, the same systems, the same data sharing agreements exist almost everywhere. This isn't just American authoritarianism, it's global authoritarianism with American characteristics. And once someone is in the system, there's nowhere to run. The government is systematically sidestepping constitutional protections that were designed to limit government power. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. It requires a warrant based on probable cause. But the government has found a loophole. If they don't search a property directly, if they just buy the information from private companies, do constitutional protections still apply? The First Amendment protects free speech and political association. But what happens when expressing certain political views gets someone flagged by an AI system as a potential threat? What happens when associations are catalogued and used to assign risk scores? Society is built on the principle of innocent until proven guilty. But this fundamental protection is being undermined when algorithms are designed to predict guilt and assign threat levels before anyone has committed a crime. The Constitution isn't outdated. The government is actively finding ways around it. They're using corporate middlemen to access information they couldn't legally collect themselves. They're buying data that would require a warrant if they collected it directly. This isn't a failure of the Constitution. It's a deliberate strategy to make constitutional protections irrelevant by outsourcing surveillance to private companies. The surveillance state isn't making anyone safer. It's making people compliant. It's training them to accept that privacy is dead, freedom is dangerous, and resistance is futile. So what can people actually do about this? Time is running out, but individuals aren't powerless yet. First, protect yourself immediately. Use private end-to-end encrypted messaging. Use a VPN that doesn't keep logs. Cover cameras when not in use. Pay with cash when possible. Use privacy browsers like Brave with enhanced tracking protection. Americans can contact their representatives and demand they support legislation that would prohibit the government from buying data that would require a warrant to collect directly. It's time to dismantle the third-party doctrine. Most importantly, educate others. The biggest advantage this surveillance state has is that most Americans don't know it exists. Every person who becomes aware is one more person who might demand something different from their government. Every generation of Americans has faced a moment where they had to choose between safety and freedom, between convenience and liberty. This is that moment for the current generation. I work from 9 to 5.